Welcome back inside the Chicago Bears Network studios at Halas Hall, from the locker room to the studio set here alongside Dan Jiggetts and ChicagoBears.com senior writer Larry Mayer. I'm Chris Bowden. And Larry, when was the last time you can think of a game where it's been a while where you're actually encouraged by what the Bears were able to do defensively? Because steps were certainly made in those directions on Sunday night in San Francisco.
Absolutely. You know, I think they did a great job of playing with disciplined football, staying in their gaps. The run fits. Not a lot of people are going to be talking about that. They're going to talk about the pressure on the quarterback, which was great with four sacks. But you have to earn the right to rush the passer by stopping the run, and they did a good job of that. The numbers didn't completely show that, but they didn't do a good job. The week before, a couple of the veterans might have been trying to do too much. The defense is gelling. They're playing a lot better. Four sacks and four turnovers. That's the old key to success for the Bears, and we were very happy to see that on Sunday night. And I think the answer to your question was early last season was probably the last time, because the defense did start out pretty strong, if you remember, early last season. And then when everyone started getting hurt, things just started to go one after another.
Well, you know, it's been amazing to watch the first two games of the season, the third game now coming up with the Jets. They'll basically face the same threats offensively. Mm-hmm. Solid
kind
run game.
Threats at least, yeah.
Yeah, solid run games. You know, a little bit of that razzle-dazzle offense. And a quarterback that gets out of the pocket can do more damage than he can probably in the pocket. So it's been very similar kind of circumstances for the D.
It has, and the last thing you said, I think, is the most important thing. The Bears haven't always had success against quarterbacks like that. Russell Wilson a couple years ago burned them late in the game and in overtime, if we remember, when the Bears lost to the Seahawks, and Kaepernick burned them making his first career start a couple of years ago. But, and as we see on camera here, Geno Smith scoring on a rollout against the Green Bay Packers last Sunday. So that has been trouble when you have to defend all 11 guys on the field like that, when you don't have a standard drop back passer, when the quarterback can not only run and make plays like that, but extend plays like we always see Colin Kaepernick doing. But I think the Bears did a great job. And if you look at some of the interceptions from last week, especially the ones by Kyle Fuller, those were plays where the Bears kept Kaepernick in the pocket. They didn't get sucked inside. They didn't let him roll out or around the edge, get on the edge, get on the corner. And that's the same thing they have to do this Monday night in New York.
And that's what Trestman was talking about. Mark Trestman, he talks about a level pass rush, inside level with the outside. So there's nowhere for the quarterback to look and escape out, because one of those defensive ends sinks in and leaves that corner wide open. That's when the quarterback gets out and escapes.
Right, and you got to love what Willie Young's doing. I was talking to someone after the game. When was the last time you went on the field late in a game like that, and you had a guy that you knew was going to get to the quarterback and was bound and determined to get there and beat his guy, knowing that maybe some other guys on the line are going to get double-teamed, taking advantage of one-on-ones? And after the game, Willie Young, supremely confident, said, hey, it's my job to beat a one-on-one every time I receive one. And he got two sacks on that last drive.
I can tell you, as a former offensive tackle, the last thing you want to see in pass rushing situations is a guy out there that looks like a greyhound. And that's exactly what he looks like when you watch him rush the passer. I mean, that first step is very, very quick. And he gets to the edge. And then you play smart, though. You see him, he boxes the edge and then gets to the quarterback. Doesn't take that deep route to the quarterback.
And then just break out the fishing pole. Reel him in after that.
Reel him on in.
Great sack dance. Let's hope we're talking about that for the next few weeks. Yeah. But he has great length and he's great athleticism, easy for me to say, and long arms, and he already matches career high after two games with three sacks.
In terms of their running game, I mean, Chris Johnson is the guy who comes with the pedigree and the 2,000-yard season, but that was so long ago, 6 years ago by now, and he seemed to have kind of slowed down, had some knee issues over there. He's only averaging 3.6 a pop. It seems like the more dangerous of these two runners is Chris Ivory, a much more violent runner. He's actually been more productive over the past couple of years than even Chris Ivory in Tennessee last year, and much in the Frank Gore mold. This seems to be the more dangerous of the two runners the Bears should be concerned with.
Well, it's definitely a tremendous 1-2 punch. I know a lot of people are talking about how Chris Johnson isn't the same guy as he was in Tennessee, but this is a guy still with incredible speed, game-breaking ability. And the Jets are the first team since the Vikings in 2007 right now that ranked first in the NFL on run offense and run defense. So you're right, they've been doing a great job. They've been averaging over 170 yards on the ground in two games. I think Green Bay's got a pretty decent defense. They shredded them early. It's going to be a big test for the Bears, and we're hopefully the Bears will show up as the team in week two rather than week one in terms of against the run, because Buffalo really gashed them on the run, and I think that was the key to Buffalo beating the Bears.
That brings up a couple of things that we talked about, important issues with the Bears defense, making sure, number one, that everybody stays in their gaps and on the backside of plays, make sure you're where you're supposed to be, because with some of these guys, particularly guys with that kind of speed, they'll hit that backside, they'll go to the front side, break the ball back, and if you're over-pursuing or under-pursuing and leave that gap in there, They come back to that backside and they're gone because the second level's already over on the other side pursuing. So that's why it's so important to stay where you're supposed to be and do what you're supposed to do.
But the Bears can also get some help from Marty Morningweg again, too. So he helped them out in Detroit a few years ago.
Wow.
Exactly.
That's
what he did
back.
Last week in Green Bay.
Choosing to kick in overtime? Is that what we're talking about?
I don't think he's going to do that again.
No.
Call the timeout this week. final thought here on Charles Tillman. You've been covering this guy since he first arrived here 12 seasons ago. Not only is he highly regarded for what he's done on the field during his time with the Bears here, and we don't know whether he's played his final game here, but if you can, just talk about how much he is respected and regarded in this building, not only in the locker room there, but all the employees around here, too.
Right, I think he's greatly respected. I mean, I don't think there's ever been anyone in this organization that I've seen with a better combination of what he does on the field and off the field. And obviously that was reflected in him winning the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award last year. This is a guy who does so many things for charity. A lot of it's publicized, but a lot of it, even more, isn't. It's amazing when you talk to people and you hear about these things, and he never toots his own horn. The only reason he ever gets publicity is to raise more funds for his foundation. And what can you say about him on the field? I mean, this guy is the quintessential playmaker. He's really changed the way the cornerback position is viewed in the NFL in terms of forcing turnovers. This is a guy that's the all-time leader with the Bears in defensive touchdowns, in interception return touchdowns, in interception return yards. I just wish he would have gotten the interception record. Hopefully he comes back next year to get that.
Well, you know, in that regard, too, he's saying, well, we'll see as time goes by whether or not I want to come back. What's your feeling on whether or not he can come back? And if he does, can he maybe move inside and play safety a bit?
You know, it's too much.
He has always turned that down.
I was going to say, I don't see that happening. But a lot of it obviously depends on his physical rehab here. I mean, if it was a different injury, maybe you say, but the fact that it was the same injury, I would say, and I'm not a doctor, but, you know, maybe that's a red flag, maybe it's not. I know no one works out harder than this guy. It's incredible the shape that he's in. He's 33 years old, but everybody you talk to says he looks like he's 25. And that's why I wasn't concerned about him, like, pulling a hamstring or something like that. This was just the same injury as it did last year. I hope he comes back. I think he can still play at a high level, and that's the number one thing.
I spoke to an orthopedic surgeon the other day, and he did say that with that triceps, when you tear it the second time, it becomes much more difficult for it to repair.
Well, if anyone will know, he'll be rehabbing here over the next 3 months. And if he does decide to come back, the Bears will probably have the best idea of anyone whether he's capable of doing that because they'll be under the training staff's watchful eye.
You know, and I think it's important to say, too, with all that's going on as we view things in the landscape of the National Football League right now.
He's been a shining example.
You look at guys like, you know, because you look at the majority of the guys that play this game, and you want them to be the guys that you say represent this situation and represent what this game is all about. And certainly Charles Peanut Tillman is one of those.
The senior writer and doctor, Larry Mayer, on ChicagoBears.com, joining us for his usual Thursday visit. Larry, thanks. You go from West Coast to East Coast. Your head's probably spinning.
It is. I'm looking forward to some noon games, I'll tell you that much.
Yes, those will come fast and furious after this week is over with. Larry Mayer joining us here on Bears Blitz, brought to you by Xfinity. When we come back, more talk on the defensive side and how to stop this Jets offense, which isn't knocking anybody's socks off, but they are the number one rushing team in the league, and they shut down things in the air and make them one-dimensional. We'll hear from the defensive coordinator when we return.